Davis Oaks Baptist Church. Amen. This morning, we're going to continue in our sermon series on the church. So far in our study of the church, we've learned where the church came from. We follow the line of progression from Abraham through the book of Acts, and we saw that the church, we didn't see the church demise. We saw that the church was not finished growing to its completion yet, but we saw its true purpose. In our last study, we considered where the church is going and understood that Scripture does not paint a pretty picture of the direction of the church as time draws close to the Savior's return. But we also learned that Jesus himself said that he has built this church and the gates of hell shall not prevail over the church. If there's been ever a time when the church ought to say amen, it's right now. Please note that the events that have taken place the last couple of weeks will continue to take place until Christ returns. Please know that laws that have been forced on the states and down our throats will continue to be forced until Jesus comes. This did not catch Jesus by surprise, neither should it catch us by surprise. What should the church be doing today? What is it? We've seen where the church came from. We see what the direction of the church is going to be in the end times. But let me ask you, right now, what should the church be doing? Now, can I tell you, the majority of the church is doing nothing. God did not call us to silence. God did not call us to sit still. God did not call us to just, you know, sit and meditate. God called us to be active, to be in action. As we look at Acts chapter 3, I believe it is, there were authorities who were upset because they were pointing at the men of God and saying, who are these men that turn the world upside down? That should be us. We've been quiet too long. Quiet too long. So what is it that the church should be doing? Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Matthew 28, verse 16. As soon as we read this, we're quickly going to the book of Acts. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. When Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Y'all might want to underline that word commanded. Did Jesus ask, persuade? He commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. I could just as easily read this whole book today because it gives reference to what we ought to be doing. But since I taught through it for almost 2 years here at the church, I will refrain from that. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, at this time are you restoring the kingdom of Israel? Now listen, that's the question of that day. That's not the question we're asking Jesus. Y'all with me? They're asking Jesus, listen, are you going to restore Israel now? Are you going to restore Israel now? That's not the question we're asking. We'll get to that question here in a couple seconds. And Jesus said unto them, it is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this is your message. These are your people. Lord, you put this message on my heart that your people might hear. So, Lord, I pray that you would wake us and shake us. Lord, still our hearts, open our minds. Help us, Lord, that we might be what you called us to be. If we call ourselves Christians, God, and many people in this nation do, Lord, help us to hear what you'd have us to hear this morning from your word. This is relevant It speaks to us today as what we need to be doing right now, right here in this place. Lord, be with us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children said. So what should we be doing? What is it, Brother Kyle? What is it that we should be doing? Let's start with Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Look at what Acts 6 says. And when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, at this time are you restoring the kingdom of Israel? Church, we could just as easily be found guilty of asking God questions when he's given us a job to do. Did you see that? God's giving them a job to do, and they're asking questions. Now, listen, I know that it's going to happen from time to time when people, you know, give you a job to do. Listen, go do this or go do that. Well, why? Why are you asking me to do this? Can I do it this way? Can I do it that way? Why is it that so many times in Scripture when Jesus gives people directives, they start asking questions? Why can't we just be people of God to do the will of God without questioning God? I don't get it. But we have questions as well. Our likely question would be, is it now time for your return to the earth? You see, they were asking, are you going to set up the millennial kingdom right now? Are you going to be our king right now? And Jesus said, listen, that's not for you to know right now. Get to work. It's not for you to know right now. And see, all over Facebook, all over chat rooms, all over commentaries this past week, I've been hearing people make comments to the effect, well, this, you know, everything we're seeing is signs that Jesus is coming. This is the trigger point. This is what's going to happen. God, and I've seen Christians, so-called Christians, doing this. May the wrath of God be poured out on you. Listen to me. Do you understand what you're saying here? Now, I want Jesus to come just as much as any of y'all do. But to ask God or put that on somebody and say, I hope the wrath of God is poured out on you. I hope you get what you deserve. Do you understand the complexities of that? Do you understand the depths of that? If Jesus were to come today, we're looking at a rough estimate of over 6.2 billion people left here for 7 years of unbelievable tribulation, where not only the wrath of God is poured out, but the wrath of Satan is distinguished all throughout this earth. Can you imagine? I don't want to imagine that. I really don't. I showed y'all in times past, Mark, I think you remember you were in there on Wednesday night. God put it on my heart a year or so ago. I wrote a letter for people who are going to be left behind. And it's a letter about this long. And it's in an envelope that I have on my refrigerator. And it plainly says right there on the front, it says, if you were left behind, open this immediately and read. This letter is for you. And I took a highlighter, I believe. It's highlighted. And I stuck it on the front of my refrigerator. When the rapture takes place, listen, I'm gone. You can stay if you want to. I'm gone. But I promise you, there's going to be somebody who comes in my house to ransack it, to look for food, to look for water, to look for weapons. I don't know. And they're going to see that letter. And they're going to have to open it. Do you know what my greatest fear is, church? It might be one of my family members. Listen, we've got to get busy. We've got to be getting to work. God didn't call us to sit and ponder, to sit and talk, to sit and ask questions. God called us to service, to call us to work. Verse 7 tells us, all we as Christians need to do is what the words of God tell us we ought to do. Others ask questions. We're not to ask questions. Listen, we're to follow God. Church, we need to stop asking questions that only God has the answers to and start doing what God has told us to do. If you have forgotten what it is that God has told every person who calls himself a Christian to do, it is to be a witness for him. That's what we're supposed to do. All of us. Every single one of us. Now, verse 8 gives us a little more detail about our witnessing responsibilities. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, but you will receive power. when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Well, hold on, Brother Kyle, listen. You're talking about that crazy charismatic stuff. The Holy Spirit hadn't come on me. I haven't spoken tongues or anything. Listen to me. If you call yourself a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God has come upon you. He's the one who told you you were lost. He was the one who told you that you were in need of the Savior. He was the one who told you that you needed to be under the blood. He's the one that has told you every single day since then that you ought not be where you are, that you ought not be doing what you're doing. He's the one when you wake up with foggy eyes on Saturday or Sunday morning and you have to brush your teeth and drink a Coke to get yourself together. Hey, he's the one who's told you, listen, you ought not be doing this. You belong to me. The Holy Spirit has fallen upon you. You are going to be a witness. Now, that ought to scare some of you. The second thing is this. He says, you will be my witness. Do you understand here that this is non-negotiable? When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, Ricky, it's non-negotiable. He says, you are going to be a witness. You are being a witness right now for this world. But what kind of witness are you being? What kind of witness are you being? People see you. Listen, people are watching you. People watch you every single day. You might not ever know who they are. But they're looking at you saying, hey, listen, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be anything like it. Or they're looking at you and saying, man, one day I want to be just like that. Church, we're being a witness. We are most definitely being a witness. Then he says this, where are we to be a witness? Jesus said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know where that is? Everywhere. Well, listen, God put us on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to be a walking, talking billboard for his son, Jesus Christ. And we grumble and complain about it. Hey, listen, that's an honor. Do you realize that God looked at us, Mark, saw our sinful condition, snatched us up and saved us, going to give us an eternity in heaven, and he still, in our sinful situation, calls us to be a witness for him? He wants us to serve him. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But that's what he's called us to do. Amen? That's what he's called each and every one of us to do. But church, there's a little more. Now flip back with me to Matthew chapter 28. He goes on and he gives us a few more things that we're supposed to be doing. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 tells us more of what the church should be doing. Number one, we need to be making disciples. Well, Brother Kyle, that's what the church does. No, he says he's given this to a group of men. Do you hear me? Individuals. We are supposed to be making disciples. Do you know what this is going to take? This is going to take our time. Brother Kyle, my time is so precious to me. It's precious to God, too. Making disciples is going to take time. You are going to have to take time. Brother Kyle, I don't want to. Again, it's non-negotiable. Jesus commanded us to make disciples. Well, what does that mean? Make little Jesuses. And it's not carving a wood. No. A disciple is a follower of Christ. A Christ follower is an imitator of Christ. We'll never be Jesus here on this earth. Do you hear me? But every day we ought to strive to be more like him. And that's what we're supposed to be teaching other people. Every day, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Listen, this is going to take something too. This is going to take effort. So you mean Jesus wants me to give my time and my effort? He most certainly does. But Gary, he wants something else. Listen, he says, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Listen, this is going to take time, it's going to take effort, and lastly, it's going to take us giving up of our talents. Can I pick on you for a second, Jeff? Do you mind? I'm going to anyway. How long have you been up here playing the guitar? Yeah. About going on 3 years. Maggie, how long have you been doing it? Who? About 2 years. December, I'll have been here for 4 years. for 4 years. And they had a talent, hidden talent. They played at home, but weren't up here. Are they wonderful? Yes. And I'm not saying this in a condemning way, but that's what we're talking about here. Listen, there are people in this church who've got talents that you're not using. You've got talents and abilities and gifts that God has given you, and you're not using them. Listen, let God use them here at this church. Praise God. Please let Him use them. Please. For the glory of God. I couldn't tear Jeff away from it. I know I couldn't tear Maggie away from it. Now, could I? If I shut it down, they'd run me off. Steve, from now on, we're getting rid of the praise team. Hey, listen, there'd be a meeting. Gary, wouldn't there? There'd be a meeting before this service was over. Y'all be sitting there texting each other. Meet in the social hall after church. Pulpit committee to be formed. Listen, we all have talents. We need to use them for the Lord. Do you realize that God gave each one of you a talent? And if you're not using it for Him, people are dying and going to hell because they're not hearing from you. What else, Brother Kyle? What else is there? Well, I'm glad you asked. Matthew 21, 12 through 13, it says this. Let's just look at Matthew 21. Let me turn back. Matthew 21, verse 12. Jesus went to the temple complex, and He drove out all those buying and selling in the temple. He turned the money changer tables and the chairs of those selling doves. And He said to them, "It is written, My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves." Is all Scripture relevant today? Let me ask again. Is all Scripture relevant to today? Let's read this last verse 13 again. And He said, being Jesus, to them, "It is written, My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves." Have we done that? It's getting ready to get real, y'all. Have we done that? Have we made the house of God a den of thieves? Let me ask this question that I've so often asked. Why are you here today? Why is it that you're here today? Can I tell you that there are too many people who are sitting in the pews of the churches all over America right now that are thieves in the church? Definitely need to have a pulpit committee meeting after church. Brother Frank's not smiling. He was on that last pulpit committee. Let me say that. Listen, let me read this again. Can I tell you that there are people who are sitting in the pews in churches all over America right now that are thieves in the church? You may not be setting up tables like we just read right here, trying to sell products at jacked up prices to make money. But you come to this church and use the resources of this church and never give a dime back to the church? Please hear me. If you don't tithe 10% back to God, Scripture calls you a thief. Brother Kyle, do I tithe 10% of gross or net? Why don't you ask God that? See what He tells you. Well, why does it always have to be about money? It doesn't have to always be about money. But listen to me. We need to wake up. The church needs to wake up and start being the church. It really, what would this community, people say, have come, when I, especially when I first come here, they said, "Brother Kyle, we need a oh, kumbaya. We need to do something for our community. We need to wake our community up. We need to get on fire for our community. We need, our community needs to see Jesus out of our church. You're exactly right. Can I tell you where it needs to start? The church needs to wake up. The church starts and it needs to start being the church. Great way to do it is quit being a thief. I knew that wasn't going to get a lot of amens. Matthew 21:13 tells us also that Jesus calls his church the house of prayer. We don't pray enough in the church of God. We don't. Can I tell you, listen, if somebody wants to start this ministry, please come see me. I wish that right now somewhere in this church, every time somebody is in this pulpit preaching, somewhere in a corner of this church, there are men of God and women of God praying for the services of God that are taking place. That God will touch the heart of a lost person. That God would open the eyes of a person who's living in sin. God would do what only God can do while the man of God is preaching the Word of God. Brother Kyle, that's kind of strange. No, it's not. I wish somebody right now was on their knees praying as I preach the Word of God. God wants you to do that. You just come see me. Come see one of the deacons. It doesn't end there. Listen, 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us something else that we as the church should be doing. Now, y'all pay attention. I'm just about done. I want every Sunday, listen, if you're here this morning, I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say. Y'all with me? Everybody here? 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do y'all believe that? Gary, is that relevant today? Yes, it is. Listen to me. Church, can I tell you how it breaks my heart to love a group of people the way that I love you, to study that I might learn and that I might teach you, and you not even being interested enough in God to show back up on Sunday night or Wednesday night? It breaks my heart. Listen to this. This verse says to study to show thyself approved unto God. Listen. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Does it also not mean if you're not interested in studying God's Word that you're not approved? Hey, listen, if the only time you crack your Bible is when you come to church, you're in trouble. Hey, listen, if the events that have taken place the past 2 years haven't got you in the Word of God more, something's wrong. Do you hear me? We ought to be drawn to the Word of God because of who lives in us. Not a popular message. Here's another. I mean, I could preach this all day long, but I'm not going to. Y'all don't get upset. Matthew 24:44 tells us the church is to watch and to be ready for the Lord's return, not knowing when, but knowing with certainty He is soon coming. Church, this should bring us to our knees with tears flowing from our eyes. If Jesus came today, again, a crude estimate of those who are going to be left behind to suffer through 7 years of torturous tribulation is over 6 billion people. We need to be praying. There's so many things that we need to be looking. We need to be looking for God's return. I don't know that we as Christians ought to be praying that God would return quickly. 6 billion people, Miss Desi. We need to get busy, church. We've seen where the church came from. We've seen where the church is going. Today we saw what the church ought to be doing. We need to get busy. I know there are people who are listening to me preach this message and saying, I don't have time to do all this. This is why we hired you. Church, I can't do all these that I've talked about this morning by myself. God didn't just call me to this task because I'm a preacher. He called you to this task when you accepted His free gift of salvation. All of us. My question to you today is, will you serve Him until He comes? Will you? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed.